from the Los Angeles Underground, it's time for your new favorite podcast, The Superiority Complex.
It's like honey in your ear holes.
What happened, buddy? What happened there?
I couldn't hold it.
Welcome back to The Superiority Complex, everybody, your new favorite podcast. We're going to open on that little cough.
Sorry.
That's okay. Welcome back. We're doing two shows a week. One show every we've done two shows in the last 2 weeks, which we kind of got away from. We're kind of in flux right now, trying to figure out what we're going to be doing going forward because my schedule is all over the place, but things may be looking up, so we may have some time to get things done soon, so we'll see.
See how things go.
We'll see how things go. This week it is once again my wife and I. You feel free to open that soda. You've listened to the show. We don't make noise. Today's show brought to you by.
How's that?
First of all, you are the biggest critic of anyone making any kind of noise on the show. So I can't believe that you're doing that. Like,
that's not true.
Theater of the mind. Who's not?
Only chewing, eating, and your microphone pterodactyl. Is the only thing.
Yeah, I got a lot of, because it's so quiet. You're such a quiet talker. Last week, I noticed a lot of the chair squeak. So I had to really, that's why I asked you if you listen to the show. There's a lot of the chair squeak. So I'm going to have to stay really still.
It's never going
to
happen.
Well, it's because I like to lean back. I like to wax poetic while we're.
Well, you were talking baseball. You were really passionate about it.
Was I leaning forward or was I leaning back?
There was a whole lot of. Both.
See, it's going. It's this chair. You can't, it lends itself to leaning back. Should we break so I could put WD-40 on it?
No, it's late. Let's just do this.
We're doing a late record tonight. Very late. We had a lot going on. We're starting very late. So we probably won't do a very, very lengthy show this week. We're here again. It's my wife and I, my beautiful wife. We had a long week full. What did you entertain yourself this week? What did you entertain yourself this week? Is what I'm trying to say.
I mean, just all my usual stuff except for working.
So K dramas.
Oh yeah, big K drama.
You're a big K drama guy.
Head.
K dramas and J pop.
Yeah.
It's basically your bread and butter.
Yeah, right in my wheelhouse.
Did you watch anything? We were working on Severance. Did you finish it? You're like two episodes away.
No, I have not finished it.
So what, you just stalled out?
I really want to be like, I know I need to be in the right headspace for it.
Okay.
And a lot of times lately, I've just kind of been like multitasking.
Right.
And so.
She's playing Animal Crossing.
Well, it's not when I'm watching TV because it's on the same screen.
Yeah, but you could take it and make it a handheld.
No,
I didn't buy you that OLED so you could just not use it.
I do use it.
I just realized I got to do today's jazz track at the break. We're going to do that.
Okay. So, yeah, I've just been doing stuff. I've been working on my closet.
Right. How's that going?
Tedious, but fine. It's fine.
Yeah. So you,
it's fine. What everything's fine.
What are you? Are you getting rid of stuff?
Most of my clothes are two sizes too big. So
just like the Grinch's heart.
Mm-hmm. So I need to pare down stuff.
Nice, man. That's a good feeling, though, right?
Yeah.
That's a good feeling.
Yeah.
Good for you.
So making some Goodwill runs.
Proud of you, man.
Reorganizing all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So.
And what's the, is there anything that you forgot you had that you're like, oh, wow?
I mean, yeah, there've been a couple things, but for the most part, there was nothing where I was like.
Is there anything that's been hard to get rid of? Are you a little sad to be getting rid of some stuff?
No.
No? Good.
There are a couple things that are in the bigger size, like a couple shirts and like one dress that I actually just wore it the other day. It must have shrank up. It was like 100% cotton. So it still fits me fine. It's just like a loosey-goosey summer dress.
Listen, you wash that thing in hot water,
and then you dry. And then there's like a couple of shirts that I was like, oh, I really like this shirt. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with it. And like my gym t-shirts, I like those big.
Yeah, you can, if it's a shirt you like, you can always just turn it into a gym shirt or pajamas.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Good for you, man.
Not really, I haven't been really sad about anything.
You are a bit of a, I don't want to say you're a clothes horse, but you do have a lot of clothes.
I do.
You do have a lot of clothes. But you have a lot of clothes, but you don't, I mean, I don't track your spending. It's none of my business. Mm-hmm. That's your, but you've never been one to go out and buy like the most expensive thing. You always look for.
I'm looking for deals and clearance, and I'm shopping at work with my discount.
Right. Is this a deal? You're also very much, you're very practical. Like, oh, I could use this, and it can be this, this, and this.
Yeah.
You're versatile, a lot of versatility.
And I'm just not a super fancy gal.
No, but you dress up nice. You clean up nicely, as they say.
I do, but even then, I'm not wearing expensive clothes or... You know,
you're not wearing the Dolce Gabbana glasses.
No, it's not my jam at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
A little Gooch.
I'm not into the Gooch.
I'm much more of the, I'm very, obviously very.
Avant-garde.
picky about what I wear. You know, I only go to the best. I, you know, I'm a little bit more of a.
Only the finest t-shirt websites will do.
Only the finest whatever's on sale at Costco will do.
Ugh.
So I went to Costco today. I go to Costco. No. I went to Republican. I'm sorry. I did go to Costco today, but this has not happened at Costco. I went to Republican Costco, Sam's Club.
Mm-hmm.
And no, I lied. It was Costco. It was Cost Company. So I'm at the Cost Company, and there's a girl, lady next to, in the register next door. I got in a short line, like the lines were very short. It was there, like just the right time. And the lady gets all her stuff out, and I hear the guy go, oh, it's an old card. It's not working. And she's like, what? What do you mean? And so hearing her, you know, response, you know, it was a sharp response. So I turned quickly and realized the cashier and I were wearing the same shirt. The exact same shirt. So he was so busy I didn't want to talk, but I did ask my cashier, I said, hey, this guy on the register next to you, is he cool or not? She goes, no, he's pretty chill. And I said, good. She goes, why? I said, I don't want to wear the same clothes as an asshole. And she just started laughing. She goes, oh, my God, you guys have the same shirt. And then she said, you should go take a selfie with him. And I said, he seems like he's a little busy right now.
You all probably are a little too busy.
Yeah, he was busy. Yeah, I don't have time for that kind of clownishness. But it was fun. It's always a good feeling. I did run into a guy wearing a shirt I bought at Target. I ran into him at when I was visiting Martin. And we went, am I boring you with the story? Okay, good. And we did take a selfie.
Mm.
We did take a selfie.
What shirt was it?
It's that blue and gray checked. You know, it's a plaid shirt,
of obviously. Of course. What else?
What else?
Is there another pattern?
Yeah. There is. Solids.
Yeah. That's not a pattern. Idiot.
I'm either going to be wearing plaid or I'm going to be wearing some kind of...
Or topless.
Or I'm going to be... I'm gonna be wearing plaid, a solid color, or some kind of gimmicky shirt, some kind of shirt with a logo, or something nerdy on it,
or like a, you do like a Hawaiian print or
I do like a Hawaiian print, but not I wear it. I don't wear those out off like work or whatever.
Yeah,
I do like that. Those are fun. I can kind of like...
But like you have the one that's like the Snoopy print.
Oh, that's a good one.
I'm sure you have a Star Wars. You have a Star Wars print one.
I guess what just got delivered today.
A Star Wars
print. Was there a package for me?
No.
It said it got delivered.
Oh, maybe it's still in the mailbox.
Oh, we haven't gone to the mailbox?
No. Okay. It's locked. It's fine.
Yeah, no, it's fine. I just want to make sure it's not somewhere else in the area.
No.
Like they delivered to the wrong spot. Anyway, I don't really wear the Hawaiian shirts out because I don't want to be that. I'm already fat. I don't need
No,
them.
But you do like a print like that sometimes.
Sometimes. They have to be, I don't like a loud Hawaiian shirt at work is one thing. Out in public walking around, I don't want to be that guy. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
you like a hidden print.
Yes.
Where you got to kind of look for the yes. hidden meaning.
Like, my favorite tie is my Star Wars lightsaber tie.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't even tell it's lightsabers. You have to really look to see it's lightsabers. Love that one. Love that one. Love it. Sorry, did I blast
you? That was aggressive.
Anyway, yeah, me and the Costco guy. We're two bacons in love, apparently.
Two bacons
in love. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was my story. Anyway, in the last week I finished, last time we recorded, I had just gotten through episode one of Fallout. Finished the show like 3 days later. It's great. Loved it. And you don't need to know anything about the show. It helps. I think it fills in a lot of it rounds it out. But the story, the show itself is, you don't need to know anything about it. I think if you do know, if you've played the video games, it makes it more fun to just find those Easter eggs and see all the references and just see the game world come to life. And they did such a good job making that game world come to life that even the Lilypot, who was not 100% sold on it, on the idea, was pleased with it. So, yeah, she had a lot of trouble watching The Last of Us because she really wanted it to follow the game. And I think that was the wise decision that they made making Fallout an open world game. You don't need to follow a particular story. They got the mythology right. The overarching mythology of the game is correct. And so within that framework, now you can tell the story. Hmm. And the story does kind of harken back to a couple of different plot lines in the Fallout game universe, but not any particular one. So, yeah, and really well acted. I think the girl's name is Ella Purcell, who I had no idea, but she has been in a ton of stuff. She was in that show Yellow Jackets. Hmm. She's been in a couple things. She's actually been around for a little while. She kind of looks a little bit like Emma Stone. She's got the cartoonishly large eyes like Emma Stone does. But she is so good at being just kind of this naive, fish out of water. And Walton Goggins, probably who always does great work, probably his finest work. I really enjoyed his character. So a lot of good stuff to recommend. And it goes by very quickly. And I just found out today, got renewed for a second season. Oh. So we, on Monday, one thing we did do, we hadn't done in a long time, shout out to friends of the show, Hiddish and Neela.
I was like, what did we do Monday?
Came down and
so long ago.
We went to a Dodger game. You hadn't been to a Dodger game probably in two seasons, maybe?
Yeah.
Two or three seasons, maybe. You've been once since COVID.
Yeah, I went to one game when they were still in the limited attendance.
We loved that.
That was the best. There was nobody around you.
It was so good.
Oh, my gosh. There was space galore.
Remember, we're like, what is this going to be like? And we loved it.
Yeah.
We loved it. It was the easiest in and out we've ever had at that stadium.
That's what she said.
Yay, how you doing? Well, we did in the parking lot because we're like, we've got to repopulate the earth. Remember that? That was your mandate, and I was like, okay.
You're stupid. I actually did not go to that game with you, so.
Talk about touching all the bases. Hey, how you doing? Oh, wait, that wasn't you?
No.
Uh-oh, I better figure out who I went.
Yeah, you might want to
check. Oh, yeah, that's right, because I
went. You might want to check on your children.
I went with someone, and you went with someone.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. I went with my cousin.
You probably went with John.
Yeah, I don't remember who you went with.
I went with a friend from work.
I like the way you did that. Keep it vague.
This is a friend we saw last night.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Boy, did we. I don't know what that means. So
stop being stupid.
So what did you, I mean, now stadium was at full capacity. The Dodgers now, they're stacked, right? They're like odds on favorite to win the World Series. They're just, you know, I mean, they're the number one team, right? This is going to be their perfect season. Mm-hmm. What happened? To describe what happened.
The Dodgers dodgered?
Yeah, in the most Dodger way possible.
Yeah. Like,
but and even Hiddish pointed it out. There was just a weird energy in the stadium. It was Jackie Robinson Day.
Yeah.
So Jackie Robinson, one of the greatest Dodger of all time.
I heard Glasnow was sick.
Oh, is that what happened?
That's what I heard was going on with him. He was not feeling 100%.
Well, they say that afterwards. It's like, you know, it's excuses. Okay? Kobe was sick. Kobe went out there.
Okay.
I'm kidding. Sometimes you get sick.
Not everybody's Kobe. Kobe was a...
Unfortunately.
A gem. Like, he was...
Right.
He was a unicorn.
Look at Scottie Pippen and his goddamn headache. Anyway... we had a, it was a, yeah, Glasnow got batted around a lot, but, at one point it didn't seem insurmountable, but the Dodgers just never got anything going. No.
And that's the problem. Like, we can't just, it seems like you can't just do a couple here, a couple there. It's like they get on a roll and they get hot. It's like somebody kicks it off and then they go from there. But if somebody doesn't get it started...
Yeah.
Like, the party's just DOA.
Let's get it started. They need that song.
So.
Yeah, but, you know, it was a fun time.
It was fun. I do find I'm more annoyed by my fellow fans.
Right.
And I use the word loosely.
What did you, what was annoying this time? What did you
find? Sit the fuck down. Like, the Dodgers are up. Sit down. Sit down quickly. Stop playing musical chairs. Those four people that got up for alcohol every inning. And had to sit down in a different pattern every time they came back.
It was like Tetris.
It's like, sit down. Don't do the wave when the Dodgers are up.
Hey, it's 2024. Don't do the wave at all.
Well, there's that. Were those seats bigger or am I just smaller than I noticed? So I was like, oh, the seat's comfy.
So those seats, the field seats are always a little, here's the thing. The closer you get to home plate, the wider the seats get. Mm-hmm. Like my cousin's seats. Yeah. They're nice. And
yeah, I felt like, oh, I had room in that seat.
Right.
And
right,
I was like, did I lose that much?
I mean, you're down some pounds, man. I mean, you're looking good, but if you go up to the reserve, it's tight.
It's still tight.
And so we were in that section just before the right field foul pole. So we had to kind of watch. You're watching it kind of tennis style. The seats are kind of angled, and you're looking towards your left. You're looking left all the time because you're watching what's going on.
Yeah,
I think that was another thing for me that was. It was harder for me to focus because, and this is not, I don't want to brag, but my cousin gets
amazing
seats and he's very generous with those seats. And I sit there more than anywhere else when I go to a Dodger game. So when I do get seats for us, I try to get them in the infield, but we could not pass that deal up.
No, it was too good.
They were field seats for $40 of $20 more, but still, it was a great deal.
Yeah. I mean, even at $60, those were good.
Great. Seats. I would sit there again.
Yeah.
I would sit there again. But you're going to be watching most of the outfield action. And the problem was.
Yeah, I think, well, I would like to be just at least a little closer, even a section or two closer to home
plate. Just to be near the net?
No. Near the net? Because we were getting cut off on the signage. So you couldn't see, like.
Right.
How many scores per inning?
You like, could see if you they would flash it at the scoreboard across the way, but that disappears. It's part of like
the pole was like right in the middle. You know, sometimes they're doing different things, and so you're watching this one, and it's like, oh, I can't quite see everything. So I would have liked to have been a little further in, or even a little further out. But like we were like that was like mid vision.
Maybe if we were back further back,
maybe
back towards the concourse.
Yeah, because we were F, so we were pretty close.
But they were
beautiful.
They were beautiful seats. I have no complaints. It's just that we're usually not that far out from what's going on in the infield, watching the pitcher, the batter. And there wasn't a lot going on in the outfield, Dodger-wise, when the Dodgers were up. We were seeing it was a lot of infield stuff. A couple of bouncers to, you know, right field, but
yeah.
Usually when you watch that section on TV or when I'm in my cousin's seats, that area is just getting drilled with, like, foul balls all the time.
And there was no fight in the pavilion.
Yeah.
We were, like, right there. We could have caught all the action.
It was Jackie Robinson's day. Everybody was on their best behavior.
Yeah.
Everybody was on their best behavior. The next night was Hello Kitty night. I thought you were going to go to that. And
that was originally the plan, but it fell through.
I'm sure there were people getting stabbed for those Hello Kitty. What was it this year?
Well, because it was a Hello Kitty fanny pack, and it's like a white furry fanny pack.
Shout out to our Australian fans.
And it was the tickets where not everybody got one. So you had to buy the special ticket.
Oh, snap.
So, yeah.
Okay.
So I'm just going to probably try to hit up Frank and Sons, and I'm sure somebody will have the Hello Kitty.
Oh, heck yeah.
Fanny pack.
If you go, let me know what they got going on over there.
They got nerdy stuff.
Oh, no. Well, they have in the Dodger.
Oh.
Yeah, there's like only two guys that do Dodger collect those, the bobblehead collectibles.
Mm.
They're about, it's going to run you about $25.
Yeah. So.
Will you wear the fanny pack?
Yes.
Okay.
I love a fanny pack.
Because I think we have a Hello Kitty blanket. Mm-hmm. We got that one here. We got a Hello Kitty bobblehead.
Yeah, I have the bobblehead in my closet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we've been on Hello Kitty night.
Yeah.
We've been on Star Wars night. We've been on...
This year's Star Wars night giveaway looks really cool.
What is it?
It's like the Millennium Falcon. It looks like it's hovering over the stadium.
Okay, you need to get that. You need to go and get it. Go that night. Go to that game.
Buy me a ticket.
I'll buy you a ticket. Will you go?
Yeah.
What day is the game?
Hold on before I start agreeing to stuff.
All right.
I think it's May 6th.
Are you still off then?
No.
All right, we're going to look this up.
It's a Monday.
Can you go?
I mean, in theory.
On a Monday, I was arrested. On a Tuesday, they locked me up in jail. Who's that? I sang it too high. Man in Black.
I almost said Johnny Carson.
Johnny Carson, the Man in Black. Oh, that's good coffee.
Okay. My brain's broken.
John Cash.
I wouldn't have known if you had maybe, I guess, well.
It's on live.
Wow.
It's on live from San Quentin, I think. Are you not a fan of the Man in Black?
I don't really.
Did your dad, because your dad liked Willie Nelson.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure he listened to some of, you know.
Happy heavenly birthday to your pop, by the way.
Yes. Happy birthday, Dad.
We miss him.
I forgot what I was saying.
John Cash.
Oh, music we listened to. Yeah, like, but my parents primarily were just like, whatever was on the radio. And then...
Like, is it... Like, I know, like, obviously, like, John Denver, huge.
Yeah, because we actually had that 8-track.
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 No rewinding.
Nope. And just clanking in between tracks.
Over, yep. Clack, clack. What song do you... Is there another song you associate with your childhood?
Oh, God. I mean... Yeah, like a lot of Willie Nelson, the Redheaded Stranger, was that the name of his album?
You said Redheaded Slut.
Jesus.
The Redheaded Slut, that's it. All right, we're going to do a little mixtape. Oh, are you ready?
That's a horrible idea.
Why?
Because you know I can never remember names of songs or people or things.
Sing, you can sing it out.
No, nobody wants that.
I do. Road Trip to Vegas song. Road Trip to Vegas song.
I mean, all I can think of is like Swingers. Like you're coming over.
Oh, when they're playing Plenty of Money in You with by Tony Bennett.
Yeah, and you like just when you start to see the lights. I mean, I don't think it's like that anymore because there's so much housing built up around there.
Right.
But remember, you could kind of see the lights from far away. Yeah. Like,
mine would be the song I play every day before work, "Money" by Barrett Strong. Oh, Barry Gordy. The best things in life are free. But you can give them, you know, that song.
Sure.
What song reminds you most of your mother?
Oh, gosh. See, this, I cannot do this game. I don't remember. I have to hear the song and be like, oh, yeah, this reminds me of my mom. Like,
okay.
I just.
All right. What song makes you want to get all your flannels back out? Buy a pair of Doc Martens, which you already have, and shred some jeans, which you already have. Yeah. So you're halfway there.
I'm halfway there.
Whoa!
I mean, there's so many. Anything by Nirvana.
Nirvana? Were you big? I see Nirvana, and I did not. Grunge, and I did not.
I wasn't a huge grunge fan.
Yeah. But you like Nirvana.
I like enough of it.
If I had to pick a grunge, it's not grunge, but from that era, I'm going to pick Smashing Pumpkins Today.
Okay.
You know which one that is?
I think
Today
so.
Is the greatest day of ever. I'm not a really huge grunge guy, but and that's not even grunge, but that's in that era. Is Smashing Pumpkins grunge? Mm. Let me know. I'm ignorant. Best Monday morning work song.
It's got to be something happy, peppy. It's got to get you moving.
Mm-hmm.
That, but I don't know what it is.
Think about it. It's Walking on Sunshine. You probably listen to like, I feel like you were a big Katrina and the Waves guy. I don't know.
Actually, there is a song that, it's that, I think it's Dance You Out of My Head. I've been kind of obsessed with on the way to work. Is that what it's called? Oh. My seasonal recap is here from...
Oh, you want to go over that with us?
I just clicked out. Yeah, Dance You Out of My Head, I believe is what it's called.
Who's that by?
Janis something.
Joplin?
Nope. Oh, Kat Janis.
Okay.
She actually just passed away, so she was like... I'm sure you've heard her stuff on TikTok. So she was diagnosed with terminal, I believe, breast cancer, some sort of cancer. And she has a young son. So she had wrote it so he gets the rights to all her music.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And so she was like, if you guys could just use this, you know, whatever he can make from the royalties off of this, like we'll go in a fund for him and it'll help him when he's older and stuff. So it became very popular. But it's just like a fun like dance song.
With a very sad
backstory. And she did pass away recently.
Oh.
So. But I like to listen to it because then it's like a twofer.
Yeah.
It gets me dancing in the car.
And then it helps her son.
And then it helps her son.
You're a good egg. What song? This is a great question for you. What song plays in your head as you cruise around town all gangsta? Before you snap out of it and realize you're driving a minivan.
Today was a good day. What was it? Not.
Oh, Cube?
Yeah.
Ice Cube, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. See, you did that. You did great.
I'm horrible at remembering names.
We're throwing things around the studio. Speaking of albums, our good friend Hob the Troll released an album of mostly originals. So please check that out. It's on Bandcamp. It's available right now. And it is called, I should have had this ready to go.
So you sent it to the kid, no?
I sent her a gift I bought her the gift of the album. Oh, it's called Stop Making Songs. I knew that. Hob the Troll, Stop Making Songs. 10 tracks available on Bandcamp. And my favorite is Dreadship Montessori. It's probably my favorite track on the album. followed closely by his version of, this is the only one that's, it's a semi-original. It's an old English dance hall tune called Where Did You Get That Hat? Where did you get that hat, my friend? Where did you get that? And he does the Eldritch Horror version of it. So it's like an H.P. Lovecraft. It's great. The whole thing is really, really great. Hob the Troll, Steve O. Dockerson, available on Bandcamp. Check it out. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we are going to talk about this week's movie, which is we went back in time. We traveled back through the mists of time to bring you this movie. We will be right back after this message. Welcome back to Superiority Complex, everybody. We took a quick break. It was very relaxing. Got the jazz track posted today. So be sure to be, if you're not following us on, we have a Facebook page, Superiority Complex. So follow it. And every day I am for the year of 2024, inspired by Pat Francis and the Rock Solid Album of the Day and guys like Michael Bagford, who posts a song every day. I am doing a jazz track every day. And, I had to miss a few days because we had an emergency, some health issues with my mom. But I've been keeping track of how many should be there, and I will have a full year plus one because it's a leap year. So by the end of the year, what I'm probably going to do, I'm going to spill my the beans. When it's Christmas time, I'm probably going to throw a few extra Christmas songs, scatter them throughout the... So do one Christmas song and then like one regular song so it's not just Christmas music. Because my whole goal is to get the, I want people to shuffle the whole list is meant to be shuffled. Mm-hmm. So there's no rhyme or reason. I'm not building any, I'm not moving chronologically through, you know, a century of jazz. So it's just, you know, it's meant to be shuffled. So you don't want too many Christmas songs in there because then it throws the balance off. But you want to also celebrate the season. But I am one who does not like to listen to Christmas music until it is almost Christmas. So there won't be that many. But I'll probably double up and do like a Christmas song and then a regular, like just a standard as well. So it's probably what I'm going to do. Because I have to make up about 10 days worth, I think. I think I'm about 10 days behind. So we will. I'm keeping up on it. But we are. But I hope you're enjoying it. I know I have it's a list on Spotify. So if you just look under Superiority Complex, we have a couple of lists there. We have lists of a lot of the scores of the movies we've done for the Digital Movie Club are on there. My brother's, the playlist I made for my brother in memory of my brother is there. And now this one is there. So check it out, please. Would love to have you come visit and check it out on Spotify. And, or just, you can follow the Facebook page and, you'll get the track every day.
Are you still keeping up with the YouTube one?
Yes. Okay. So I have a YouTube Music account, but it's really just for, that's the one I'm posting. I'm just keeping it there for basically you and anybody I know personally.
If anybody needs that link, we can give it to them.
Yes, but that goes directly to, that's yours. Yes, so that is still there. So when that is always updated. That's the first one I update. Spotify is a little weird. There's a couple of times I've had to use alternate versions because Spotify and YouTube don't necessarily play well together sometimes. But you know how it is with all of these different services that we use. They're not always on the same. And it's, you know, music rights and all that stuff play a part. So we definitely want the artists to be paid for their, or their estate paid for their. So we don't use anything. There's no bootlegs. Everything is on YouTube. And, you know, if it gets taken down, we'll find a source, a legitimate source for you. That's our promise. Did I mention, we were talking Dodger game. Mm-hmm. You had the hot dog. Now the Dodger dog, the original Dodger, Farmer John, no longer in Dodger Stadium. Those hot dogs for me, hit or miss. I've actually moved away from eating.
It was fine.
It was fine.
I don't know why I put relish on it. I don't like their relish. But you were like, get the onions and relish. And so I was like, okay.
You don't like their relish?
No, I don't like, I like a spicy relish. Do not like a sweet relish. So that kind of detracted a little bit for me. No, I was just like, okay.
Because they never, we were there so early. Anytime, by the time I get there, usually, and that was the first day they brought onions back. I just found that out. They hadn't had onions since COVID.
Why?
I don't know. Dodger Stadium, I'm not going to lie. I love it. You know, I mean, look, we can go into the whole Chavez or anything, but when we're not going to. But the stadium itself, as it stands now, love it. You know, my blue heaven, the whole deal. After having visited, and, you know, I mean, this is not, has nothing, no reflection on their baseball team, because they're still crappy. They'll always be a small market team. I don't care how many big names you get. You'll always be a small market team. But after having visited Petco and seeing their concessions, like, Dodger Stadium needs to step it up. Like, yeah. They have all that money. Let's get some good food in there, guys. Let's get some good food. Because now that the Dodger dog's gone, right, we need something in there.
Yeah.
Din Tai Fun at Petco? Are you kidding me? Come on. Come on.
I mean, there's a whole bunch of new stuff in the center field pavilion.
Right. Duck Eddy is okay.
It's so crowded out there.
Right. It's nice out there. I love that.
Maybe my problem too is I don't like to get up during the game. I'm there to watch a baseball game.
Right.
So I don't get up to use the restroom if I don't have to. Like, I'm there to watch the game.
Right.
And maybe that's part of my problem. Maybe I should get up and walk around during the game when those things might not be quite so busy.
Right.
But I'm like, but what if I miss something?
Right.
I'm here.
I tend to get up during the away team's at-bats because I don't want to see a ball go out, you know, if that happens.
Yeah.
If that happens and I'm not in my seat, it happened because I wasn't in my seat. That's the kind of luck I bring, you know. So, but, yeah, I was wondering what you thought of the food. I've been to, you know, I'm not going to be one of these. I'm not going to be blind. I don't have blind allegiance. Chris Taylor needs to step it up, and they need to get better concessions.
True. All true.
We saw the end of the Trammell era. They DFA'd him, like, the next day.
Did they DFA
him? Yeah, I think they did. He's gone. They brought up that kid, Pajes. Pajes.
Pajes, I think, is how it's said. Or how it was being said.
He's Cuban. Cubano. So... he's gonna bring in that little. He's gonna bring in a little of that arroz con pollo into the dugout. That's what they need. See, maybe he'll mix it up. Maybe that kid'll. I mean, he didn't help him. I mean, he got his nice first MLB hit. Looked good.
He scored.
Scored. Looked good. They need to get everybody on the same page. All right, let's talk about it. We watched a little movie.
You don't want to talk about Taylor Swift's new album.
Oh, yeah. You were in the break. You just told me Taylor Swift's album you just dropped. How do you feel about that?
I don't care.
Swifties are going nuts right now.
Yeah, I'm sure they are.
I'm going to have trouble downloading this episode because I'm going to have to...
The Tortured Poets Department is the name of the album. There's a song on it called Clarabeau.
How do you feel about Clarabeau?
Do you want to hear a snippet of it?
Can we do that on the show?
We can do it. For review purposes?
Sure.
We can play a little snippy.
Are you ready for... watch. Get ready. Put it up to the front of the... How'd you feel about that? Be careful. We don't want this podcast blowing up for the wrong reasons.
It's fine. It's not for me.
Right, right.
Like, so it's fine. It's, people are going to love it. People are going to think it's the amazing best thing ever. And I am so happy for them.
Right.
It's not for me.
It's just not your thing.
No, not my jam. That's okay.
And that's fine. But some people need to understand that that's okay. That you, there's things that you don't like, and you cannot like something that somebody else loves, and it's okay.
Exactly.
We've based our entire marriage on that.
Like, I mean, I haven't even really, have you listened to Beyonce's new album? I haven't listened to it at all.
No, but I like the idea behind it. I like that she just felt like they were excluded or so I'm going to make an album. Mm. I kind of like that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know who my, you know, I mean,
that's Rihanna all day.
You know, I'm Rihanna all day.
All day, every day. Breaking Dishes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a great song. You know, Beyonce's fine, but just not, you know, I like Beyonce as a performer. I like her, you know, I like, you know, I like the way she presents herself.
Like, if somebody said to me, hey, I have a free seat to go to a Taylor Swift concert, I'd probably go.
Yeah, you want to go check it out?
You know, have a memory, but I'm not going to pay my own cash money.
Did you watch Eras Tour on Disney Plus? It's free.
No.
Okay.
Because nobody said, hey, you want a free ticket to the movie?
That's basically a free ticket.
I know. I don't want to see it, though.
I bet you I know more Taylor Swift songs than I think I do. Just because it's probably in the background and it's in the ether. And I'll bet you I know, like, if somebody played and they go, who is this? And I said, I don't know. But I know the song. And they said Taylor Swift. I'd be like, what? I probably know probably 10 songs of hers. And I bet you I don't even know that I know. I know.
But I think you'd be able to detect it's her. I think she has a distinct sound. Like, I think you would know her voice. I don't think she sounds like a lot of other people.
Here's the thing. I have not dissected her music enough to know. I could not tell you what her voice sounds like. Mm. Like if I heard her speak and then heard her sing, I would not be able to. You know, there's people that you know when they're singing and they're talking. You're like, oh, okay, I know who that is.
An Adele.
Yeah.
Like, that's a voice you
right,
know.
Right, right, right. I don't think I could tell you on a song. Because she kind of does this thing where all the songs I've heard her do, she's kind of shouting. She's like shout talking.
The whisper shout.
No, not so much a whisper shout, but, you know, there's a song in my head that I have that I can't, I will not be able to vocalize, but I know what she sounds like in that song, and I feel like she sounds like that in all her songs. That kind of, yeah, I know what it kind of sounds like, but I don't know what song that is.
I don't either. Yeah.
No. By the way, I'm going to just get to shout this out. This person doesn't know me. But there's a young lady who will jump on, she jumps on TikTok in the middle of the night, usually around midnight. And I just got an alert that she is on there. Her name is Renny Set Go. I think is the Renny .set.go. She plays a guitar. She is, I believe, Korean American, but she speaks fluent Spanish, and she plays guitar and sings like, and she does live. She seems like a very nice person, but there have been times at night when I cannot get my mom to relax, and I play that in the background. And it's kind of work to help her relax. So, shout out. So, she follow her on TikTok. She's great, and she deserves a lot of listeners. But she is on right now.
Yep. Which does you all no good, because she's not on right when you're listening, probably.
Well, I could. Should I? Is that? I don't know. See, I don't want to violate any. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but. Yeah, Renny. Let me see if let me get the official. Yeah, Renny.set.go on TikTok. And then if you follow her, she'll let you know when she's going live. So check that out. That's a little freebie for you. Support artists. Support people who put music out in the world, because I cannot do it. I have to do this dumb show.
Support all creatives putting stuff out into the
world. Yeah, artists and illustrators and people just out there doing. What's the word I'm working for? Hod the Troll has a song called "Hey Scrunglebutt," and it's all about kind of being like, you know, just, you know, putting stuff out there. It's a good song.
Yeah.
Get that whole album. Stop making songs. I love the play on words. Little Talking Heads reference there. All right.
Okay. Now let's talk movies.
Now we went back in the midst of time. One of our favorite movies as a couple has always been, this movie has been a go-to for us. We haven't watched it in a long time. But back in the home video days, we watched this movie a lot.
A lot. And, well, cable days, like if you'd flip through.
Right. It was kind of a, it was probably one of our first together. Like, it was one of the, it was a comfort movie because we could put it on. We both agreed. Like, it was one thing that we, if it was on, there was no discussion. We were just going to watch it.
Yeah.
And watch the rest of it. And what is this cinematic masterpiece? Is it The Godfather? Is it, you know, is it The Godfather? Is it Goodfellas?
Now, I knew this movie so well that before anything came on screen, when it the first pings hit.
Right. You knew exactly what it was.
I knew exactly what it was.
Now, we watched the special edition of this.
And I knew every special edition scene.
You had not seen it before.
Because I had not seen them.
You had not seen it, but you knew that.
I knew what was extra.
Right. Now, We're not going to reveal the name. We'll do one of those annoying things where we. No, the movie we're talking about is James Cameron's 1989 underwater epic, The Abyss. I didn't pull it up. Let me read the synopses here, and then we're going to talk about we're going to talk not only about the movie, but we're also going to talk about the special edition, which we. Listen to this. It's on Hulu right now if you guys want to watch it. It's a 7.5 out of 10 on IMDb, 62% on Metacritic, and 89% on Rotten Tomatoes. 89% Rotten Tomatoes. That is great. It got the Academy Award for Best Visual Effects. It is directed by James Cameron. Let's see. I don't have the cost here. Would you like to see, guess what it made?
Oh, goodness.
I did see this in the theater, by the way.
$2 million.
No, we made way, way more than that.
Well, I don't know.
It made $90 million. I'm trying to find
out. Holy shit.
Trying to make out with it. Oh, the budget doubled its money. So it was a hit. 43 to 47 million made 90 million. So double its money. That's a hit. Now, I remember there was a magazine in the 80s called Starlog, which was all this behind the scenes like sci-fi movies, and of course, I was all about it. I didn't subscribe, but I would buy it at the grocery store whenever I could. And I remember picking this up in the they always did like a summer preview issue. Or they would talk about movies that were coming out like the next year. And I remember this is back in like 88. So I was, you know, still in school, whatever. And I remember picking up the issue that talked about all the stuff that they were doing to film this movie. They had built this giant tank and they had the actual rig down in the tank and they were filming underwater. And I remember the shirt had crews, the crews had shirts made up that said life's abyss and then you dive, and that was like I remember that. But they were just they just kept talking, and I was fascinated by all these photos, and then, you know, they didn't give anything away. And there's like, I'm gonna admit to you, this movie's goofy. Like, the whole ending is kind of goofy.
Yeah,
but if this is a very tense, very well done, it's, you know, something of a suspenseful thriller. You know, it takes place at the bottom of the ocean There's all these, you know, obviously, you know, it's like kind of a claustrophobic setting. There are like nerve-wracking like set pieces where, you know, things go wrong in a hurry. I don't want to give too much of the plot away if you haven't seen it.
You can buy that shirt on Etsy for $250.
Is it crew worn? Is that? It
must be.
Yeah. Does it look like an 80s shirt?
Yeah. I mean, it looks like it's been worn. It's got holes. And
that's great. Thanks for looking that up. So it stars Ed Harris. Let me see. I'll read these to you. It stars Michael Biehn, Ed Harris, Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio. Those are your big names. There's a Chris Elliott in there. If you like a Chris Elliott, you'll see him at the surface. Oh, one second. Okay, so sorry about that. We're going to look up what I forgot to do. We forgot to watch, look up Leonard Maltin and see what he had to say about this sucker. See if you can guess what Lenny had to say. Here we go. Way at the front of the book. All right. Abyss. Okay. Spectacular underwater saga about an oil rig crew that gets involved in a perilous mission to rescue a sunken nuclear sub. Better as underwater adventure than futuristic sci-fi, with a couple of crises too many, but still a fascinating, one of a kind experience. Great score by Ellen Silvestri, Oscar winner for visual effects. Special edition includes 27 minutes of extra footage. Some of it is all too obviously cut from theatrical release. It fleshes out characters, amplifies plot points, and includes spectacular special effects, but literalizes the otherworldly finale. What do you think he gave it?
He gives half stars or quarter stars?
He gives half. 0 to 4. 4 being the best. Bomb is the 0.
3. 3,
exactly, yeah. He gave it 3.
Nice.
3 stars from Lynn. Yeah, see, even Lynn thinks it's good. This is a great movie. This is a great, if you like, okay, so like, I'm going to say this about James Cameron. James Cameron is the thinking man's Michael Bay. Like, if you like the Michael Bay type movies, James Cameron does those, but in a much more, I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of like Titanic and the biggest fan of Avatar, but I mean, the man knows what he's doing. He's directed Terminator 2, Aliens, this. I mean, there's like, you know, he's got a track record. Mm-hmm. He knows what he's doing. So if you like that kind of like, you know, like an action thriller, the James Cameron movies are for you. And if you haven't checked this one out, there is a lot of a sci-fi story to it. But at the same time, a lot of it is grounded and happens in like, you know, very realistic situations.
Yeah.
So what are you looking up there? Oh, I thought you were looking up more shirts. Were you scrolling? What are you doing? What are you, Patrick? You playing Animal Crossing over there? Shout out to Patrick. We miss him. Tell me about this movie. This is your movie.
I don't quite know why I like it as much as I don't know.
Like, what do you love? Like, what are the scenes that get you, like, what do you love about it?
Like, I like all the different, like, characters, like you got the other female character who drives the little outrigger thing.
The little, yeah, yeah.
And then you got Hippie, and you got with his rad, and I don't know, I just...
It's a nice ensemble cast.
Like, they feel like a work family, like, because they're down there together.
Right.
You know, for long stretches. And the bad guys are really bad guys. I don't like those military dudes, whatever they are.
What
are they?
The Navy SEALs.
Those ones. Yeah. Don't like them. Especially Coffee. Is that his name?
Oh, Michael Biehn, yeah.
Yeah.
Johnny Ringo.
I didn't realize that's the same guy.
You didn't realize that?
No. But yeah, now that you say it, I can see
also,
it.
Also Hicks in Alien. Aliens.
Okay. So yeah, I don't know. I like the relationship. Like, what's the main dude's name?
Ed Harris.
Ed Harris.
Right.
I wanted to say Ed Helms, and I knew that was
Ed right. Harris. Our shout out to our friend Shauna.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like when he throws the ring and then he fishes it back out and then his hand is blue like the entire movie.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know what it is about it. Nostalgia, whatever.
We watch this movie a lot.
But those first few just underwater pings, I was like, The Abyss? I was all...
We hadn't watched it in years.
No, not together. I've watched it since.
But like, honestly, this was a movie that when we were dating, we would watch this all the time.
Yeah.
And then when we got married, it would be on cable or whatever. This is a movie I've had, I think, in every... This is one of the movies I've had on every... I had it on VHS, had it on DVD, maybe I didn't have it on Blu-ray. But I remember having the VHS and I upgraded. This is a movie that got upgraded to DVD for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
But I don't think it had a digital copy because then I found it streaming somewhere. And then when I mentioned it to you, then you were like, oh, yeah. And then I think you bought a...
Great.
A digital version.
Great sound effects. Great special effects.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the effects still hold up. Some of the stuff in the special edition obviously looks a little wonky.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it's physical, practical effects. They built these tanks and they have these submarines. They have these submersibles and they're, you know, it's really cool, man. And you notice now with modern TVs and stuff, you notice, okay, that's a miniature. Okay, that's stop motion here and there, but they're masterfully done. They're masterfully done. Yeah. And good characters and people you care about.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's great, man. The scene where
You don't want to spoil a movie from
I don't want to spoil a movie from 30 years ago. But
where he doesn't give up on her?
No, before that. Oh. The thing leading to that scene.
Uh-huh.
Man, for a character that is so unlikable, you feel so terrible for this person. You feel terrible. And the way that scene is acted, it's so so well done and just so, like, it's claustrophobic and it's heart-wrenching. That whole scene is really heart-wrenching. I give James Cameron a lot of shit because he's a director like Michael Bay who loves jargon. He loves, like, people who have their own slang. He loves that.
These ones didn't get a nickname.
Yeah, like the roughnecks. we're roughnecks, but he loves jargon. He does love that. He loves military jargon. You see it in Aliens. You see it in Terminator.
Use it accurately or is he making shit up?
I think he uses it accurately, but he just likes a lot. Okay. But this one, this one doesn't bother me much because it's such a specialized, like you said, it's this work family. But they're the only people in the world that are doing this, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's fictional, but if it were true, these are the only people on like this submersible rig drilling for oil. So yeah, they're going to have their own language and they're going to have their own slang and all that stuff, you know. Where it doesn't work is like some of like Hippie's character is just kind of a little cartoonish compared to everybody else. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's always kind of like, but you have to have that.
Yeah.
There's a guy like that in The Thing, you know, it's Windows or, you know, whatever. There's always a guy that's like, you know, just kind of out of place, you know, in these movies. But I think people forget about this one in the James Cameron when you're talking about, you know, now he gets more lauded for things like Titanic and Avatar. True Lies, you know, Aliens is always going to be like his best for me. Because he took a sequel, took it in a different direction, and just did it. And then Terminator 2 is probably equal right there with it, right? And again, took something he had already done, and then, well, he was the director on the original, so he just improved on his own formula.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with Aliens, he was taking somebody else's work and taking it in a different direction and it worked beautifully. So, yeah, but for me, this is like his hidden gem. This is his hidden, like, if you don't know this movie, I recommend watching. And I love it.
Yeah.
I still love it. I was surprised because what I do is I do this thing where I'll buy these movies and they're like $5 and I'll go, oh, yeah, I like this movie. And I'll either never get around to watching it or I'll watch it and realize, man, that did not hold up.
Yeah.
That did not hold up.
I should have rented that.
I should have rented that. But my thing is always, it's $3 to rent a movie streaming and it's $5 to buy it.
Yeah.
So, you know, what, you know, I'll just buy it because what if I end up wanting to watch it again? Mm-hmm. 9 times out of 10, I don't. I should learn my lesson. But on The Abyss, though, this was.
Yeah, this one was a known
this one
quantity.
Was, and it, I probably don't need to see the special edition again. It was good to kind of revisit it and see what I missed. But I think if you're just going to watch the regular version, he made all the right cuts. He made all the right cuts, I think. I don't think there's anything in the special. It was cool to watch, but
it was cool to see, but I didn't feel like there was anything where I went, oh, I wish I would have known that. That fleshes out that, or that makes that make sense, or whatever. It was a little bit of fluff that was fine to pick out.
Whereas something I just recently watched, rewatched, and it's like, this movie has three fans. It's me, my brother, and John Sandy. All love the movie 1941. We're the only ones that love that movie.
Okay.
And there is an extended release because Universal got it and chopped it up because it was too long and all this, there was stuff that didn't work and all this. But they actually cut like gags out of the movie that set things up for later. Mm. So when you watch the expanded version, yes, a comedy should not be 2.5 hours long. We've said that. But this is one of those movies where they put so much time and effort into it. And John and I talk about how getting, especially with period movies, getting those little details right. Mm-hmm. It's Spielberg. He gets all the details right, but people forget because it's a comedy that, you know, he put just as much. I was watching the dance sequence in 1941, and I was watching the camera movement, and I was like, this guy put just as much effort into this as he did Jaws, as he did Close Encounters, all the movies that made him famous up to that point. And it just, people just didn't understand it and they didn't like it. And so it kind of gets thrown on the scrap heap. And I think this is kind of the same for, I think this is the same for James Cameron, except the expansion helps 1941 and The Abyss doesn't necessarily hurt, the expansion doesn't hurt it, but it doesn't help it. It doesn't help it at all.
It doesn't really.
Right.
It's completely unnecessary.
Right. So, yeah, you can stick with the theatrical version, and it is a great. You will
remember, we did have to do a little fast forwardy at the end.
Right. Because it was getting pretty late. We started late. But I can enthusiastically say that this movie holds up for me. This movie held up for me. So, I would give. Do you want to give your ranking, or do you want to give anything to add, or?
I mean, I'm going to rank this one really higher than it should be.
No, there's no such thing.
Because for me, there's like the nostalgia about it. Like, I don't, like, it's a little campy at points, but I just inexplicably love this movie.
There's no, listen, movies are movies, and it's like a song. It's like music.
Yeah.
You love what you love. And yes, I'm going to shit on it, but. That's just what I do because I'm a jerk face. But no, there's, look, we've gone, look, this is a things come up on this show. We'll watch a movie and everybody, it's a one of my.
I mean, Patrick gave Sneakers a 10.
Right. He loved that movie.
So I don't feel bad about giving The Abyss a 9.
Okay. Would you, do you give that a 9 just by itself or special edition? Because I was going to give 2. I was going to give special edition.
I mean. I could take or leave the special edition. It doesn't add anything. But again, I don't think it makes it any worse.
Right.
And had we started it at a decent hour, it probably wouldn't have mattered, the extra 20 minutes.
Right.
So I give it a 9 either way.
I'm going to give it an 8. I'll give it an 8. Special edition on its own, this is 7. Like I said, I feel like it doesn't take anything away, but I feel like the abyss itself is, if you would ask me when I was younger, 10. I see some of the flaws now, not in the, like, I'm not going to take points away from an old movie because, oh, the special effects are bad. Or
yeah.
If they looked, because I remember how good they looked when this came out.
Amazing.
When this came out, this was an amazing movie. This was
top tier.
Yeah. So I'm not going to take points away from that. I just see some of the more hokey parts now.
Yeah.
And there are a few of them. But
I love them. I love them.
Yeah. This is an 8 for me, 9 for you. Yeah. I was so happy to watch this again. Yeah, I was so happy to sit in with you again. It did bring back a lot of great memories. It really did bring back good memories of us just being younger.
Yeah.
But not like I love where we are, but it just felt, I was like, oh, I remember this was like a Friday night for us.
Yeah.
I would, what do you want to watch? Oh, let's just watch The Abyss. Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
And we, 3 hours later, we're, yeah, I dug it. It was nice to see you again. I was very happy. Yeah. I was very pleased it held up. Yeah. So, yeah, that's our review. Watch it. If you've never seen it, check it out.
Yeah, check it out.
It's a good double feature with Hunt for Red October.
Mm-hmm. Lots of pinging.
Any of your submarine movies.
Is that a submarine? Well, I guess it has a submarine in it. But the submersible is not a submarine.
It is. I mean, it's a submarine. It's a small submarine. Sure, it's a submarine.
Oh, no, I meant the whole rig.
Oh, the whole rig. No, it's not.
It has the attached submarines.
It's a platform. It's an underwater platform. It's not a submarine.
Okay. But there are submarines on it.
But not, there is one in the beginning.
Yep.
Yeah, that sets off the whole thing. But, oh, man, that scene.
Yeah.
Shouldn't have given him a haircut. All right. That's it. That's going to wrap it up. It's our whole show. I got nothing.
I just stalled out.
No, why? Because I was going to make a point and it was just like, I was going to, the executive officer, the other guy that's like, we're going too deep. That other guy he's the bad, I think it's the, he's Frank Nitti in The Untouchables.
Hmm.
So that's all I wanted to say. All right. Okay. That's it. So until next time. For my wife and myself, we are going to say
good night.
Good night. And this transmission ends now, and fight the power. We'll see you next time.